Welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall. Thanks for joining me here today. It is a Tuesday again, middle of October. We have a huge show for you coming up. We're talking about Apple's new iPhone coming up. We're talking about Amazon Prime Day. Big, big sales anticipated for that in the billions and billions. We're going to talk about CRISPR getting a Nobel Prize. We're going to talk about Workhorse, what's going on in the USPS contract, Bitcoin breaking out. We're taking all your questions, all of this, and even more coming up right now on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
Once again, I'm Matt McCall. Thank you so much for joining me this week for Moneyline. It is Tuesday, October 13th. My goodness, time flies when you're having fun. So things are looking good here in the market. We're down a little bit this morning, but yesterday we've been closed Monday. We were very close to all-time highs in the major averages. Things are looking very strong. I mean, we had Apple, the largest publicly traded company here in the States, up over 6% yesterday. 6%, folks. That is a huge move. You're looking at it like a $2 trillion company. Stock is down 1.1% this morning. We have some big news coming out on that, but we're going to talk about Apple. We're going to talk about Amazon. We're going to talk about earnings because earnings season's underway as of now. Talking about Bitcoin and altcoin breakouts. We're going to talk about Workhorse, CRISPR, which is biotech. We're going to then take your questions and answers are going to be coming from me, but a lot to get through here today. So I got my Dunkin' and we're ready to go. So it's about 10 o'clock here, East Coast, Tuesday morning. As I just mentioned, we have Apple down about 1%. We have the S&P down slightly, the NASDAQ down about 0.15%, 0.2% or so. So everything's down just slightly this morning. So, after the run that we have had, let's take a look at the NASDAQ, for example. From the low that we hit just about 2 weeks ago to the intraday high of yesterday, the NASDAQ was up about 12.5%. It's a huge move in about 2.5-3 weeks, folks. So consolidation just below the all-time high that we got close to yesterday. Probably a little bit of a pullback on lighter volume. It's A-OK. I mean, we've got, a five-day winning streak coming into here. Looks like we were up 6, 7, 8, 9 of the last 11 days on the NASDAQ. 12 of the last 14 days, or 12 of the last 14, I should say, or 12 of the last 15 days. I mean, the point is, we have really had hell of a run up here. If you take a look at the overbought, oversold oscillators, you know, it's a very technical word, but it kind of measures how overbought and oversold something is on the charts. We went from very oversold at the end of September. We know we had a pullback in September to pretty damn overbought right now. So, you know, we can't go straight up. So I anticipate a little bit of a pullback here in the markets. And that's good because we're going to talk about some stocks today that gives you an opportunity to buy on weakness. As many of you know, we've been, you know, suggesting buying on all weakness, and we continue to think that's the best philosophy going forward, even with volatility expected heading into the election. Don't forget, hit that like button down there, subscribe button down there, comment, please, as well. Ask your questions. I try to get there and read most of them, and I appreciate everybody saying all the nice words about us and what we're doing here. Other big news is we did order lots of new stuff here for studio. We got a big touchscreen television that we'll be able to do fun things on. We got some new tables. We're going to have our CEO, Brian Hunt, joining us from time to time. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the months. We're really expanding the video presence that we're having. I know right now it's Tuesday and Friday. It was up to me. We do it every day, but we have other people who need to do the producing and the editing and all that good stuff. So Brooke is our producer, by the way. He's the best, so he is our producer. So market updates, as I just mentioned, we are near highs. Things look great. We have the new Apple phone that's coming out later today. 1 o'clock, I think, is the time that's going to, by the time this airs, probably it's already out. They're calling the event High Speed, H-I, comma, speed. I'm like, hello, speed, high speed. You know, obviously, it's all about 5G, which is great, but it's people are making this big deal out of it, like, a lot of other Samsung, other companies have had 5G for a while in their phones. So I don't see the big deal about the 5G. The likely name is, you know, got some leaks here. The likely name is the iPhone 12. No, who really cares? But that's what they said. Four models are thinking they're going to range from about $699 to $1099. The iPhone 12 mini, which would be a 5.4-inch display, about $699. As big as a 6.7-inch Pro Max. And that's going to have LiDAR sensors for depth tracking, telephoto lens with 5x optical zoom, But, you know, 6.7, that's pretty damn big. That's almost like a mini iPad to me. And that's, I think, kind of where they're going with this. But new chips in as well, so even more powerful chips. Obviously, you need those chips for the 5G. The way I look at this is it's not necessarily run out by Apple because they have a 5G phone. We all knew they were going to have a 5G phone. It was just a matter of time. The way I look at this is it's just that next kind of, okay, we're there. We had 5G rolling out. It's been rolling out for a while. But okay, now the behemoth is there. So the demand for these 5G chips and everything that goes with 5G will be there. As the masses get access to 5G speeds, which are up to 100 times faster than 4G, I mean, hard to imagine, but downloading movies in literally seconds instead of a minute or two, that's not the big thing I see, but the connectivity for phones connecting to cars, cars driving themselves, manufacturing, phones connecting to manufacturing. So all these devices will be connected through the Internet of Things, which is another one of our big roaring 2020s trend, and the 5G is behind it. But because the iPhone is such a important device in the world that we live in right now, it is important to get that to have 5G. So this is just another sign that our trend that we're investing in is along the way, and we're moving along, and things look great. So that's kind of where we're at here. The other big company out there that has had a heck of a run here as of late as well, Amazon. And that was up big yesterday. It's follow through today. It's up 5 points, which is about not even a quarter percent, 34.47 right now per share. When I say 34.47, I mean $3,447 per share. The Prime Day was delayed. Usually it's in the fall, but it's now going to be the 13th and 14th, which is today and tomorrow. I didn't look at the deals yet. I mean, it's typically going to be household items, electronics, stuff like that. I don't need any more electronics in my house. I have so much. I mean, I'm surrounded by computers here at work. I mean, I have computers and iPads and phones everywhere. I don't need any more. So it doesn't really get me too excited. Household things, I'm not a junk guy, so I don't like to get, it doesn't really do it. But could generate up to $10 billion in sales in 2 days. And to give you an idea, when Prime Day, go back to 20, I'm looking at this chart, 2015, it did about $900 million in sales. So over 10 times that in a matter of 5 years. That's pretty impressive. Last year it did about 7.1, 7.2-ish in sales. So a big jump to 10. And again, this is in the face of a recession, in the face of a bear market, in the face of a global pandemic. So it's pretty damn impressive to see what we're going to see. For the year, they're estimating Amazon will do sales about $366 billion this year, which is pretty damn impressive, too. That's a lot of darn money. So if you look at Amazon, for example, I'm going to pull it up here for you guys. I got my charts over here. If you take a look at Amazon and, $366 that I talked about, projection for $433 next year, over half a trillion dollars in sales by 2022. You look at the forward price to sales ratio, it's around 3.9, which isn't too outlandish. Forward PE ratio is 78, but I don't care about that for a company like this, because you're growing earnings per share, which are expected to come in at $31.75 a share this year. Keep in mind, it's up from 23 last year. Next year, up to 44. The year after that, 61. So you're seeing, for a company this size, to see such top line and bottom line growth, it's a $1.72 trillion company. $1.72 trillion company still growing like this. It's fascinating to me. So keep an eye on that. And if you see any good deals, get out there and let me know. I'm always up for a deal. I like to get deals. Next thing we're going to talk about here is earnings. Earnings season underway. JP Morgan came out. They beat in top and bottom line this morning. The banks are all out here first. People didn't really like it. Shares are down 0.6% on the news. The big financials have just been struggling. With low interest rates, they're going to struggle. So I don't see that going away anytime soon. But as far as looking at a rebound in the economy, as far as looking for some value plays, I'm much more of a growth guy, and I'll talk about growth versus value a bit later. Somebody asked that question. But as long as I still think value is value, and I think growth is the place to be. But if you look at, for example, JP Morgan, last year it had earnings per share of $10.72, expected to drop quite a bit to $6.11, back to around that $10.70 by 2022. So if we get it back to that, and that's only 2 years away, think about where the stock was and where it is now. You take a look at where the stock was, you know, this stock in early, in late 2019 was up as almost $140 a share. We're now down at 101, so that's 40% upside just to get back to where we were in 2 years. That's not a bad play on one of the largest banks in the world, the most successful banks. So you may want to keep an eye on them and diversify the portfolio. It's not something we would put out, but it's something you want to keep an eye on. So the estimates for earnings are for earnings year over year for the third quarter for the S&P to drop 21%. And yeah, and that sounds horrible, right? But keep in mind that last quarter they were down 31% year over year. First quarter they were down 13%. Next quarter looking for a drop of 13% as well. But then when we get to next year, because the comparisons are against this ugly year that we had, they should jump dramatically. So this is, you know, these are lagging a bit indicators for me because you're still working through the recession, through the bear market, through the pandemic. So it's really not as bad as it looks. And this stuff's priced in. We all know this. So typically I'm gonna look for a better than expected number to come out for this. And I expect you're going to see that coming out. All right. So earnings, we'll keep an eye on. Anything big comes out, and, you know, obviously we're here every Tuesday and Friday. We will let you know if anything big comes out. Next, I'm going to talk about is cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in particular. You know, Bitcoin has had a nice run here as of late. It's around 11,400 right now. In the last month, it's up about 9%. In the last week alone, it's up about 5%. But we rallied to about 11,700 yesterday, 6 straight days on the upside. And we're getting close to a level that we hit back in August. August 16th, we came right below 12,500. Which is a yearly high. I think we blow through that. I got to tell you, the more and more that I look into Bitcoin and altcoins, the more I become bullish. You're seeing it become more mainstream. You're seeing the big firms really start to move into it. You know, what was it, Square last week who bought $50 million worth of Bitcoin? That's such a small amount, but it made headlines. But that is, to me, just the tip of the iceberg. MicroStrategies, we've talked about that. MSTR took all their cash, publicly traded company, put into Bitcoin instead of cash because the CEO feels it's better to be served in Bitcoin than cash because as a dollar falls, I think you're going to end up losing value of those money sitting in cash. And there's really no place to get any good interest rates out there with interest rates near historic lows. So I get that. Raul Paul, who I had a little spat with on Twitter a little while ago, he is from Real Vision. He was a hedge fund guy. You know, as much as we go at it on Twitter from time to time, it's because his politics are so far one-sided that I just think he doesn't look at things clearly. And that's just my opinion. He also thinks I'm wrong, too, a lot of times. So it is what it is. I have still mutual respect for the guy. I think we have mutual respect for each other. But he's a smart guy. I'll give you that when it comes to the markets. He has announced he has over half of his investment in Bitcoin now. He really thinks it's going to take off. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that's bullish, I think you're going to see institutional money. That's what he talks about, institutional money coming in, the big guys moving in there. And that's what moves markets. And I do see that happening. People talking to, I was in New York last week, as many of you know, met with some people there who are tied into the Bitcoin community. And same thing, you know, seeing big, big money come in from people that a couple years ago were putting it down, calling it, you know, this fantasy internet money, BS, all this stuff, are now putting money into it. Not only because their clients want it, but they see the fact that the U.S. dollar and other currencies are falling. So you need to really keep your capital, number one, and look for some upside potential. And if the value of fiat currencies are disintegrating, you have to put it somewhere. And the thing is, there's trillions and trillions of dollars sitting around. So you have trillions of dollars sitting on balance sheets of large companies. So I think that's one you're going to see. You have trillions of dollars sitting on the sidelines for mutual funds and for hedge funds. I think you're going to see that move in as well. Then you have the money that I've talked about in the past, where the checkable deposits in the United States, $3.6 trillion. Savings deposits in the United States, all-time high as well. Net worth for individuals and nonprofits, all-time high. There's so much money sitting on the sidelines right now. People think, oh, everybody, you know, all the rich are in the stock market getting rich right now because the market keeps going up. It's not true. Most people are so underinvested, it's insane. Insane. So I don't agree with that. And the numbers don't show because there's tons of money sitting on sidelines. So with the record amount of money in the banks for individuals, institutions, hedge funds, mutual funds, or you name it, that money's going to go somewhere, and it's going away from the U.S. dollar. And that is going to go into Bitcoin and the other altcoins. I mean, I really, you know, I have a decent size of my money in Bitcoin and some altcoins, but I tell you, I'm almost looking for, I would hope for one more pullback, because I want to put a lot more into Bitcoin. I'm really loving it right here as an alternative for cash. You know, I have a lot of cash sitting around looking for investment opportunities, things outside of the stock market, building, stuff like that. And I think I'm going to put it in Bitcoin because it is very easy to just cash that out. But I'm seeing, I really think 20,000 in the next 8 to 12 months is inevitable in Bitcoin. And if that happens, folks, if that happens, the value of the altcoins, not all of them, you need to know which ones to be in. The value of the altcoins goes through the roof, through the freaking roof. So please, man, do not overlook what's going on here in the crypto universe right now. And of course, we have two crypto products, one as low as $99, where I partnered up with Charlie Schrem. If you don't know Charlie, read Bitcoin Billionaires. He's one of the first guys ever to get into Bitcoin, one of the pioneers of it, if you will. I had him on a podcast a couple weeks ago. But we have a new product, $99 a year. So check it out. All right, Workhorse, WKHS. Everybody knows by now that Workhorse is a stock that we originally put out to our subscribers at $2.74 and was 1,000% winner for us. It is down today, though. It's down 8%. It rallied above $30 yesterday, now down to $24.20. This is why. Roth, which is a research firm, said they spoke with the USPS, United States Postal Service, in their potential $8.1 billion deal that they're going to get for next-generation electric vehicles, for basically replacing all those old Grummins that are driving around, the sliding doors, you know. Many people know. You can't fix them anymore. They can't find parts. They can't even find mechanics to work on the damn things. Workhorse is one of the basically last three companies up for it. One's based overseas, which I don't think gets it. Another one's a couple companies here in the United States that came together. I still think Workhorse gets a portion, if not all the deal, probably a portion of it. But the United States Postal Service, apparently, according to Roth, came out and said that they're going to delay it. It was supposed to be this week. They're going to hand it out. Delay it. Well, no shit they're delaying it. It's the gosh darn U.S. Postal Service. So I'm not surprised by the delay. I'm not surprised by the sell-off. I would use this sell-off as a buying opportunity. Roth lowered their price target from 33 to 27 based on this. This doesn't mean that Workhorse is not going to get the deal. It means that our government is an absolute utter mess. And within the government, the USPS is an absolute utter mess. I didn't get mail for nearly 3 weeks a month ago. 3 weeks. And normally I don't care, but I was actually waiting on a sizable check coming in for something from the government, of course. Unbelievable. And all of a sudden it showed up one day. Our mail carrier, she wasn't even showing up. Wasn't even showing up. When she did, it was like a pile like this. And she was complaining because there was nowhere to put it. Well, it was not my fault you didn't show up for 3 weeks. Unbelievable. So the fact that they're delaying this should be no surprise to anybody in the world. It is so mismanaged. But the bottom line is they have to get this through. If they wait till after the election, there's no way Trump goes with a foreign company. So that means it's basically they get a 50% chance of getting it. And they probably split it up at worst case scenario. When I say they, Workhorse. If Biden wins, Workhorse is the only one that's true electric. Based in the United States. And you know how he feels about electric vehicles and green energy? That'd be good. So either way, it's good for them. It's just what we have to practice now is the hardest thing in the world for investors is patience. It's going to be wild up and down because, you know, we get so ahead of ourselves and, oh my God, if we don't get it today, it means we're not getting it. Well, somebody's still getting that deal. Unless somebody else came into it I don't know about. But the bids were due long time ago, folks. I just don't see it happening. I don't see it going to anybody else. I still think Workhorse gets it, and I think the pullback's a great opportunity. But again, the nice thing is we're at $2.74. It's still up, you know, eight times where it was. And we took some off the table and took huge gains. We're playing with house money times 10. So we're good. But if you're looking to get in, I mean, it's obviously riskier buying here, but I think you can look for this sell-off has been on to me. I keep looking, I'm looking at the chart right now. It's down about 8% right now. So that's what's going on with Workhorse. CRISPR, which many of you know and love. CRISPR-Cas9 is a way to do gene editing. And, you know, keep in mind, it's used to cure diseases that were incurable in the past. Sickle cell disease is a great example of one. But there's over 10,000 monogenic diseases where the disease is caused by one mess up in your genome, your human genome. One mess up. So you go in, you can either replace it, repair it, cut and paste. You know, it's kind of like Microsoft Word. But you go in there and you could fix that gene and you could be cured. I mean, it's going to save people's lives. It's going to make people's lives better. I mean, it's the future. So Jennifer Doudna, Emmanuel Charpentier, I think it's pronounced, two women, female doctors who came up with CRISPR-Cas9, got awarded the Nobel Prize for Chemistry. Congratulations. There's a couple of Netflix documentaries out there on it, so I think it's pretty cool if you want to watch that. It's a good way to explains it. Jennifer's in some of them. Emmanuel's, I think, in some of them as well. So really, really awesome. I'm happy for the two of them that they won that. You know, I'm not going to give away all the stocks in there, but one of them is CRISPR, the symbol CRSP, CRISPR Therapeutics, right near an all-time high. Yesterday it closed, I think, at an all-time high. Well, it closed a couple of pennies below an all-time high yesterday. It's down 1% today, but man, I got to tell you, this is still, to me, the future. We're years away from it actually getting approved. Most are done right now called ex vivo, V-I-V-O, E-X space V-I-V-O, meaning it's done outside of the body. The next generation will be in vivo, I-N-V-I-V-O, meaning it will be done inside the body. So you don't have to pull it out and put it back in. It's actually done in the body. And that's the future of this. And I'm telling you, it's going to change everything. Within the next 10 years during the roaring 2020s, you want to be invested in these gene editing, CRISPR stocks, genetic testing companies, anything to do with this, you want to be invested in. And those have been some of our best performers in our newsletters. The genetic testing companies, Future of Healthware, it's been our best performers the last couple of years, just blowing the doors off. So congratulations to them for winning that. And CRISPR, I continue to believe, is a great, great upside potential. All right, let's do something real quick. I like to make fun of people, you know. No, I'm just joking. But Goldman Sachs, I can make fun of them. They came out, I saw this over the weekend, their top buys and sell ideas for the rest of 2020. Their top buy ideas, this is unbelievable. When I'm looking at this, and some of the upside targets on all these stocks are over 55% for every single one. But number one, Technip FMC, which symbols FTI, it's oil and gas. Number two, National Oil Well Varco, NOV, oil and gas, Schlumberger, Halliburton, Baker Hughes, top five, all over 80% upside potential, they think, for the rest of 2020, all oil related. Whew, that's, you know, are the oil stocks beaten down? Yes. Could they bounce? Yes. But man, I mean, that just seems like a really, really, it's like being at the blackjack table and losing like 10 hands in a row and saying, I'm due, we got to do it. Or the roulette table where red comes up 10 times in a row, black is due, we got to bet on black. It doesn't matter. It's 50-50 every time, folks. Not that this is 50-50 every time, but the point is trying to just go against the trend like that because you think it's over, oh man, that's going to get you really in a lot of trouble a lot of times. So I looking at this, wow, I would stay away from Goldman Sachs' ideas there. Now let's get into your Q&A. I asked on Twitter, of course. Always go to Matthew McCall. You can always ask the questions there, post comments, tell me how great I am or how bad I am. But I took a bunch of Q&As. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. Some stocks, some general questions. Number one, when to sell companies when they're bought out? I think that question came because a couple of stocks that we have in our portfolio. And again, if you want to get any of our access to our free articles, check out our newsletters. It's McCallMoneyWire.com. McCall, my last name, M-C-C-A-L-L, MoneyWire.com. Check it out. We have free articles, white papers on there, you name it. So a couple of stocks in our portfolios for subscribers have gotten bought out recently. And sometimes I hold on for a little bit because I want to see if there's going to be a better offer. The odds of that are probably maybe 1 in 10, depending on the deal. So I look for a better offer coming through. If I don't think a better offer is coming through, definitely get out right away. If it's not an all-cash deal, if it's based on the share price of the acquiring firm, that's another reason to get out kind of right away, too. A lot of times it could take a good 3 months for a deal to close. because it takes that while, a lot of times they don't they trade below the price. Say the buyout's 24, making a number up. A lot of times they trade around 23.50 or so because it waits to that final day because there's always that 50% chance that it falls through, or 50-cent chance, not 50%, 50-cent chance it falls through. And that's why it trades 50 cents below that level. It's about 2% chance. It depends on the deal, but typically I'm going to try to get out right away unless I think there's a better price coming in, because the upside is 50 cents on a deal like that or whatever it is. It's usually pennies. And the downside is if the stock goes back to where it was prior to that, which is a lot of times 50, 60% on the downside. So your reward to risk is not worth holding on for that extra little 50 cents you're going to get. So for me, I typically sell unless I think there is another offer coming in very soon. Second question is about a stock, Retractable Technologies. And I know why they asked about this. I can't remember who asked, but they asked about this because of obviously vaccines coming out. So RVP is a symbol, RVP. Stock is down about 1% today, but man, it had a hell of a run. It was down around a dollar in March, ran up to almost about $14 or so, just below that, back down to five. Now we're back up to nine. This is a small company. It's only about $280 million company, but they it's like a syringe technology. So obviously you're going to need, with the vaccine coming out, you're going to need a lot of syringes for people to get the vaccine, or when the vaccine comes out, I should say. The thing that concerns me, though, the revenue really hasn't grown at all in the last 10 years. I mean, this is an event that could obviously make that much different. They did get a deal a couple months ago with the U.S. government. I just don't know if they're going to be the company that gets the deal. And if they don't, you're pricing in pretty much perfection, in my opinion, if they do get a lot of deals for their technology. It makes sense. I don't know enough to say yes. It warrants the run from $1 to $9 right now. It's already up 9x. And again, it was up as much as 13, 14x. So I don't know because of that. I just think the risk is too high of the reward or my unknowns right now for it. So I would stay, I stay away from here just because I think the risk is too high. The next one's another stock as well, and this is a SPAC. Remember, again, SPACs are Special Purpose Acquisition Corps, also called blank check companies. I'm not going to get into it again today, but if you want to check out my top two SPACs, Matt's, M-A-T-T-S, that's my name, mattstopspacs.com. Free report. Get them. Nothing. Just go get it. It takes you right to it. You don't have to put your email address in. That's how nice I am. I'm not even going to spam you. So SBE is the Switchback Energy Acquisition Corporation. And that is a SPAC, which has announced it's going to be merging with a company called ChargePoint in about a $2.4 billion deal. ChargePoint considers themselves the largest electronic vehicle charging network in the country. So, of course, there's going to be more EVs on the road, electric vehicles. And what do they need? They all need charging stations. There's not even close to enough. Biden had talked about it in the first presidential debate, about them investing so much money into these charging stations. Coming up. So there's huge upside potential for charging stations. There's going to be a lot of players, in my opinion, but there's a huge upside potential. ChargePoint's one of them. You know, SPACs typically price at $10, and they trade at the 10 bucks or really close to it until an announcement is made. After they announced that they're going to be merging with ChargePoint, that day the stock ran to 13.50. Crazy enough, the next week it dropped back down to 11. Ran up to 16 and change. Now, back down to 13. Now it's at 14.80, right around 15 bucks. Closed yesterday just above 15, or right around 15 right now. So a 50% increase from if you would have bought in prior to the deal being announced. So the SPACs are crazy. There's some big, big upside happening here. I love, obviously, everything with EVs right now. So I need to do a little more research in the company, but it is on my watch list. I haven't added it anywhere yet, but it is on my watch list. I'll tell you that. Next question is, one stock I would buy right now as I go live here. Not to put anybody down for asking that question, but don't ever ask anybody that question. I mean, that is, I don't know what one stock to buy. If I knew what one stock to buy, that's like saying, again, I'm going to use the casino analogy. That's like saying this like a professional gambler. Hey, what if you had to pick one number in a roulette table, which one would you pick right now? There's what, 36 numbers and 2 zeros, so 38, 1 in 38 odds. I mean, who the hell know? I don't know what stocks. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. I don't know. I mean, if you watch me at all, we don't. If when it comes to let's say future transportation, we don't even pick one stock. We pick a basket because I mean, I know future transportation is huge. I love all the companies in there. 5G highway. We launched that portfolio a few months ago. There's eight stocks in there. Every stock's up. That's great. The portfolio has in a couple of months is up 50%. I checked yesterday, 50%. All of them up double digits. But if you had to tell me to pick one back then, I don't know. We have some portfolios that are crushing it, but we have stock, one or two stocks that are getting crushed on the downside. That's why you diversify. So never, I mean, I don't know one stock to buy. And if anybody ever answers that, they're so full of shit. Because nobody knows. If they knew that, they probably have insider information, number one, and they probably don't anyway. They probably got it wrong. They probably heard it at the bar or from a cousin at a party. I'm telling you, it's a real person who values what they do in this industry like I do would never answer that question. So don't ask it again. And I'm not saying be rude. This is tough love. Just don't ask it. Because if you're asking that, or if you want to know my answer to that, and you still think I should answer it, you have to change your mindset, because you'll never make money in the stock market. Because right now you're a gambler. And gambling doesn't work. Trust me, I do it for fun on sports all the time, legally. But I always lose money, but I do it for fun. I probably should stop, though. So sorry to get that, but you just have to please. Next question is, should I look at quarterly earnings when investing in a long term? I obviously look at the quarterly earnings, but to me, you know, I'm a long-term investor, so I like to see the annual, how it's progressed annually, and like to see annually, because from quarter to quarter, again, it's 3 months, look at bad quarters, good quarters, things could happen. It's just, you know, you look back at these last couple quarters because of the pandemic, quarter to quarter is really, really tough for me because it's just too short term. I like to see the longer term trend. So I look longer term personally, but I obviously analyze the quarterly numbers as well. Next question is, should we use a mental stop or an actual stop loss? So what that means is, if you put a stop loss in, say, for example, we bought a stock at 25, we put a stop loss in at 20. If it falls below 20 at any point in time, we can leave the order open that sells for us at 20. So the most we could ever lose is $20. The downside to that is, if you just put a regular stop loss in, if the stock, let's say, closes at 22, you're still good, and then has earnings overnight, and then it gaps down on the open, opens at 15, that's going to trigger your stop loss, and you're selling at 15, even though you put in 20. You could do a stop limit where it limits it, but I don't want to get too wonky. Order's mental, whereas you say to yourself, you could check it every day or check it whenever you check your portfolio, and if it closes below your stop loss, let's say it's 20, then you get out the next day. I use mental because obviously I'm in front of this stuff all day. Even if I'm traveling, I have it on my in the plane. Like, I'm always, so I use mental stop losses. I don't put in stops for our clients, for subscribers at Penn Financial Group, because I manage it. I'm looking at all of our portfolio right here. I don't have to. So somebody's always watching it. So we don't do that. If you're worried about it and you don't look very often, maybe put one in way below. But I really kind of got rid of stop losses because we are investing for long term. And we had a stock that we put into the portfolio late last year. It was down over 50% at first, and now we're up over 250%. So if I had a stop loss, and I would have knocked out and lost a huge potential gain. So that's how we do it. We sell when things change with the company. Compass, CMPS, a new IPO somebody's asking about. This is the first really mushroom psychedelic company to go public on a major exchange. There's some small ones out there, penny stocks. But this priced at $17 in September. It opened at around 23, ran up to 28 that day. It's been up as high as $47 a share just a week and a half ago. It's at 36 right now, about 2% today. It's about a $1.2 billion company. They did get it fast track from the FDA. It's based in London for one of their drugs. Basically what they do is psilocybin, which is the drug that comes from mushrooms. If back in the day, people have eaten mushrooms, they got high. You know, the magic mushroom type, you know, Grateful Dead type stuff. So they take it out and they take small amounts of it and they use it for depression or different types of suicidal tendencies in people. But it's used for mental disease. So, you know, I love the fact that we're looking for different ways to take, to treat anxiety, depression, bipolar, you name it, any type of mental disease, doesn't matter what it is, schizophrenia, PTSD, there's a lot of work being done on PTSD and psilocybin. I'm all for it personally, and you know, it's going through FDA just like any other drug, so it's something to keep an eye on. Peter Thiel, which was a big backer of Facebook early on, and a big VC guy, you've probably heard of him, he's a big backer of this company. So big upside potential, but big downside potential. So one I'd keep an eye on. I'd keep an eye on it, but I wouldn't jump into it right here. Speaking of jumping in or holding on, somebody asked, should you hold on to the vaccine stocks right now, even the smaller ones? And they asked about VXRT, Vaxart. You know, I personally own a vaccine stock for myself, my portfolio. I own a different vaccine stock for clients of Penn Financial Group, which is doing well. It's up again today. It's at the best level since July. So I the one that I own is also doing well today, best level since July. So ours are doing well, and I'm continuing to hold on to them. Vaxart, VXRT, this stock was trading earlier this year below a buck. It rallied up to $17 a share in July, fell back down to $5. Now we're at $7.70. It's actually up 9% today. It was up much more this morning. And maybe because Johnson & Johnson, they had stopped their vaccine because they had some issue. So maybe all the other vaccine companies are doing well because of that. There will be several vaccines that get approved, in my opinion. I'm not going to name names right now. You've heard me say them before. Vaxart, I don't know much about, so I don't want to say it. I think some of the bigger names have a much better chance of getting approved, the ones that we have for clients and for myself. So I'm not a Vaxart fan, but yeah. So three more questions. One more. How many stocks should you have in a portfolio? Obviously not one. I told you that already. I do the basket approach. So if you say I want to dedicate $5,000 to the future of medicine, instead of going out and buying one stock that you think is the future of medicine, buy $1,000 each. So you want to put $500 into it, $100 into each. And if it only ends up being one share, it doesn't matter. It's one share. It's still $500 invested in that trend. And again, there's no commissions anymore at brokers. If you're paying a commission, a broker, go somewhere else. I think, you know, TD, Fidelity, Schwab, they're all free. So it doesn't cost anything. So just go to them, E-Trade. We just got bought by Merrill or Morgan, one of them. So yeah, baskets. That's what we do in our newsletters. We do baskets. We did a solar basket last Thursday, and it's doing great already. So look at baskets, folks. And that basket can vary as far as, you know, the amount of stocks in it. Two more. One is, this is pretty interesting. Somebody's been asking about this question a lot. It's symbol DOCRF, and it's Cloud MD Software and Services. It's based up in Canada, so it trades on a Vancouver exchange up there as well, the Venture Exchange, I should say. $270 million value, Canadian money. Did revenue of $6.7 million last year, looking to increase that to about $67 million in 2024. So 10x in revenue for 5 years, I like that. Next year, close to being profitable, very interesting as well. But this stock has moved. It was down around 25 cents, below 25 cents earlier this year. It's at $1.57 right now, huge volume coming into it. It's telemedicine. People are calling it basically the Teladoc of Canada. And we all know Teladoc, how big that's become. And, you know, it's one of our huge winners. And it's merging with Livongo, another one of our huge winners. So I want to keep an eye and do some more research. My only concern is when I look at a stock that back in July, was up at like 30 cents, 35 cents or so, or 40 cents, 38 cents. 38 cents, and now it's at $1.57. It's already rallied, over 300% in the last couple of months. So that concerns me a little bit, but I'm definitely going to keep an eye on it. It's definitely high risk, though. Last one. A deal just got announced on this one. RBAC, another SPAC. Remember, go to mattstopspacs.com for free SPAC, two free SPACs, information about them. No email needed. This is called Red Ball Acquisition Corp. I talked about this one a little while ago. This was a Billy Bean. I remember Billy Bean. Brad Pitt played him in Moneyball. Great movie, by the way. He used analytics to build the Oakland A's, as you know, very low payroll. And so he's part of this. But they announced they're going to be merging with the company that owns the Boston Red Sox. The Sox. I'm not a Sox fan, but I still like them better than the damn Yankees. I'm so glad the Yankees got knocked out by the Rays. And I was in New York when it happened. I loved it. I was watching that game live, sitting outside at a bar. It made me very happy, and a lot of other people around me very unhappy, as I cannot stand the Yankees, as most people can. So $8 billion deal. Not only will you have exposure to the Red Sox, which is an iconic baseball team, but also Liverpool soccer team. They also own the Liverpool soccer team. I'm not a big fan of soccer, and I call it soccer, not football, because I'm American. A lot of people will make fun of me. There's, I think the guy behind us, I think he's a huge Liverpool fan or something, Manchester, one of them. He always wears those funny-looking scarves that those soccer fans wear. It's not a sport to me. My brother played in college. It's fine. It's fine, but football's a real sport. Anyway, So $8 billion deal, stock jumped on it. As I said, stocks usually price at 10. This ran up to 11 yesterday, but it's down to a 10.26. So maybe people are thinking the deal's too expensive, but you know, owning parts of professional sports teams is one of the greatest investments ever. And maybe this is a little pricey at $8 billion. I need to do more research into what's going to go on with the money. But it's one I am keeping an eye on because the Boston Red Sox are an iconic brand, even though they had a down year. Liverpool's an iconic brand in the Premier League over in London or in UK. So, yeah, it's one to keep an eye on. All right, a little bit longer show today, but we covered a ton, folks. Remember, markets near all-time highs. A little pullback is okay. We're down about 0.25% right now in the S&P 500. Apple iPhone coming out today. You'll know exactly what's going on. High speed. And then we have Amazon Prime Day today, tomorrow. Look for $10 billion in sales. Earnings expected to be down 21% this quarter. Who cares? It's priced in. Crypto breakout. Bitcoin going to 20,000 in the next 8 to 12 months. You heard it here first, maybe even higher. Mark my words, all coins bigger. Workhorse, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It got pushed back, the deal. Doesn't mean it's dead. It got pushed back. You're dealing with the government down 9% today. Buying opportunity. CRISPR, long-term, is way to go. Jennifer Manuel, very, very big congratulations on the Nobel Prize for chemistry. Goldman Sachs, top ideas. Laughable. And then all your Q&As. We had a big, big show. Thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe below, comment. You know the drill. We'll be back Friday. For now, go out there, enjoy life, smile. Tell somebody you love them. Be safe. And have a great rest of your week. We'll be back Friday. I'm Matt McCall. That's the new Moneyline.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.